We read the 23rd Psalm, so we don't need to go through the Psalm again, reading it as you stand. We're gonna just suffice that I read that during the previous hymn. But I do want you to know that we're talking about God's presence in your darkness. And as I mentioned to you, without question, there's a lot of folks going through darkness today in reference to the tornado tragedy that this whole area has experienced. It's knowledge around the world of the suffering that Tennessee is going through. You see it on major news everywhere you look. They're talking about Tennessee. And not just about the tragedy, but how God's people, and I will say God's people, have come together to help support and strengthen those who have been broken. And I give much credit to God for doing that, but He's got a plan, He's got a purpose, He's got something He's wanting to tell us and teach us. But I want to talk about God's presence in your darkness this morning. I don't know if you ever read something that was powerful to you. Man, I'm going to read this to you. Maybe you got a love letter from your sweetheart when you were dating or something else that was so special. And you said, you got to read this. This is incredible. Or maybe it was a book, a chapter, or something else that you read that was pretty incredible. And you wanted to read that over again. This is what I feel about the 23rd Psalm. I can't tell you the people that request this psalm from me when I'm about to preach a message for a funeral. And I'll ask the folks, is there a special verse? Maybe that's your mom or your dad or your loved one, life that maybe you want me to use. And I tell you what, it's like 90%. Well, there is that psalm, you know. Or they'll just say, you know what, something about shepherd, you know. And I know immediately where they're going with that and what they're trying to tell me. And so I say, would it be the 23rd Psalm? That's it, the 23rd Psalm. Because this psalm provides so much comfort for people going through difficulties and the tragedies of their life. And yet we find that this psalm is what it says. It is still waters to the soul. It is green grass to those who are needing that freshness for sure. It's a restoring for your life when you read this particular psalm. It is pretty personal, for sure. You don't see in this psalm no we's or they's or them's, you know, in the psalm. It's all me, I, you, you know, myself. David talking about and making this very, very personal. Why? Because this is his personal testimony. David wrote this, as you know, David was the greatest king that Israel knew. God said about David, this man has a heart after me. This is what a great king he was. Was David perfect? No, neither are you, neither am I. He wasn't perfect, but he was God's chosen man for a specific time in Israel's history. And he served the Lord. But he learned much before he served him as a shepherd boy. But he learned also much as he became king about how serving God. Now, the important thing, I guess, to realize is that when David wrote these words of this psalm, he believes what he's saying. These are words from his heart. Because he personally experienced these things. They're not just something he heard about. And his words are formed in his life in the cradle of crisis that he had. Very often, when you go through a difficulty and you have a tragedy you've gone through and you come out on the other side, what you learn from that tragedy, generally, you want to share with somebody. You want to teach them. You want to strengthen them because you're knowing that chances are they're going to go through something similar to that. And so you learn, well, David, having gone through some crises in his own life, he found that God was present through it all in his life. That's why I wanted you to know this message titled, God's Presence in Your Darkness. In verses 1 through 3 of this, we see the words He, okay? We see that third person, He, throughout the verses 1 through 3. And then when we go to verse 4 and 5, we find that the second person, because he starts saying, you, as though he's speaking specifically to the Lord. He's like communing about the Lord in verses 1 through 3, and then communicating about the Lord, but then verses 4 and 5, he's communing with the Lord, and then verse 6 again, about the Lord. But it's important to note how he switches on that from the third person to that second person of just talking to God and saying, you are. But because verse 4 starts him talking about the crises that he's been through, and he begins to address the Lord specifically. It's like we get to eavesdrop on his conversation with the Lord here. Yeah. We get to hear about his connection with the Lord. People need to know of the situation of your own life, of what you're going through, and how you came through it. How God blessed you and how God strengthened you, how you leaned on him for giving you victory in some of the issues of your life. You've noticed that, surely I hope you have, that when something happens in your life, it becomes more personal between you and God. We speak about the Lord, we talk about him for sure, in green pastures, we tell about how God's blessed us, but when danger comes or darkness comes, we begin to speak to the Lord. He becomes a little more personal. Say, God, you know what I'm having to face here. You know the challenges that I've got. In the light of joy, we pursue green grass. But in the darkness, we kneel and hang on to his knee and we hug him tight because we don't want him to leave us when we're going through difficulties in our own personal life. David changes from comments about God in those first three verses to comments to God, words to the Lord. Because in the valley is when he found God to be present the most and the most real. And that's true. That's how it ought to be. You ought to be able to count on your spouse to be there in the most difficult times of your life. You ought to have your closest friends that will always be there holding you up, strengthening you. You expect that. That's the way it ought to be. And so it is for David. This morning, I want you to know that what God is and wants to be for you is an oasis in some of the driest times of your life. I want you to be able to find that God is there refreshing you, bringing you to that still water, taking you to that luscious, greenest grass. By the way, you know where you find the greenest grass? In the valley. The water all comes down there and makes the grass the greenest right down there. So that's where you find the greenest grass anyway. So when storm clouds arise, whether they're physical clouds or mental clouds or financial clouds or spiritual clouds in your life, I want you to know that God is walking with you and you want to go through that all with confidence. Let me quickly talk to you about how God provides time in the valley. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how did we get here? How did all this work out? I mean, things were so good yesterday. Can you imagine how many families are struggling through their situation where by Monday they had no plans on Tuesday looking what it was? They didn't plan to wake up Tuesday morning. By the way, Monday night, I didn't hear this. Elaine said she heard someone or the storms about every hour she was awake. Knocked me out and sailed through the whole thing. Can you imagine the folks that didn't get to sail through the whole thing because they were right in the midst of it? Hadn't planned on it, but there they were. God provides some time in the valley. In the first four verses of this particular psalm, David provides a gentle picture. We see this gentle shepherd. Picture of this gentle shepherd with his dependent sheep. I love it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I lack. I've probably told you this before of the little girl who was to memorize the 23rd Psalm. She was a part of a Bible drill and she was time for her to get up on Sunday night and to quote the 23rd Psalm, and she was very young and she got up and saw the big crowd and she just got stage fright. You know, she was frozen. And all she could get out was this: the Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. That's all she could remember. That's all I want. But she really set a volume there, didn't she? She really kind of really culminated the whole thing. Because the Lord is our shepherd. And we ought to know that from him is the greatest and richest supply of all that we ever would need. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I lack. And by the way, I know most of you memorize this from the King James Version. I realize that. And this is the Christian Standard, but it all says the same thing. So basically, don't think that I'm reading something different from what you have. If you have the King James in front of you, the Bible, the pew Bibles that you have there in front of you and beneath the chair are Christian Standard as well. But it all makes sense because for this shepherd, recognizing the sheep have a need for him to be present, and his task is to care for the sheep. But then in verse 4, speaks of potential danger, because it's not all peaches and cream. Life is not. Life is not always easy. We come through situations where there are challenges, and so we have to understand that David is letting us know that in the good times and the bad times, he is still God. Just as the song says, he's God on the mountain and he's God in the valleys. He's still God no matter what you go through. Whether your house has leveled itself to nothing but rubble and toothpicks, he's still God. And this is what he wants us to know. But with the logic, we have to ask ourselves, why would sheep be going through a crisis? If the shepherd's right there, it's not because they strayed in sin, you know, and so the shepherd has to snatch them back from the sin, the sheep. No. They're going through the crisis because, get this, because the shepherd is leading them there. Very often you find yourself in a situation you wonder, how did this happen? And God's looking up and looking down and saying, I'm in control of that. I made that happen. That's happening because I want you to know something. I'm leading you to something better. I'm leading you to a mountaintop that's much greener. I'm in charge of that. The shepherd led the sheep there. He says, I love this, verse 4. Even when I go through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no danger. Why? Because you are with me. In other words, as a sheep, I didn't run off and go to some dangerous place. I didn't choose to have my house leveled. He says, you're there. And so if you're my shepherd and you're leading me as your sheep, this must be a part of your master plan. Who can figure that God would have a plan and not always let us in on it? This is what he does. We have to trust him, have total faith that he's in control and he's got these things in his plan for our lives. There's a connection between 3 and 4 of these verses that the shepherd is leading. But why would a shepherd lead a lamb through any type of crisis? Think of a crisis. I mean, a lamb is just like a can't fend for itself other than just bend over and eat grass. You know, what else? That's right. The only one possible answer that I can come up with as to why a shepherd would lead a sheep through a crisis is because he wants that sheep to get to a better place. I'm leading you here through this situation because I have something better for you on the other side. Do you trust me? Are you going to trust and have faith that I'm in charge and I know what's going on? I love what Philip Keller said. He's an Australian shepherd, and he wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a great little book. I love what he says. He says this, the shepherd knows, listen to this, from past experience, that predators like coyotes, bears, wolves, or cougars can take cover in these broken cliffs and from their vantage point prey on his flock. He knows these valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that send walls of water rampaging down the slopes. There could be rock slides, mud, or a dozen other natural disasters that would destroy or injure his sheep. But in spite of such hazards, he also knows that this is still, listen, that this is still the best way to take his flock to get to high country. He spares himself no pains or trouble or time to keep an eye out for any danger that might develop. So the shepherd who's leading his flock to higher ground has to go through some of the potential things for which they're going to face. Remember, the shepherd is leading them. So when you walk through some what are unfamiliar valleys and lingering shadows in your life, in some of the decisions that we have to make, when cancer arrives and you're wondering, should I choose chemotherapy or radiation or whatever, or the doctor gives some other sort of diagnosis for which you have no ability to change his mind, or you face a financial crisis and you're bankrupt because of the situation in the nation or the world, and your money has gone down to nothing and your stocks have all gone flat, and all that things take place, and you find that now I'm in a position where a second job is necessary just to make ends. Remember this. Your shepherd has appointed this time of hardship on your journey to righteousness. That's called trusting God. He's appointed this on your journey to righteousness. Believe it or not, he's taking you to the high country. And it's not always easy. You ever done any hiking? Go to high rocks and go through the trails that are difficult to traverse there? But I'm telling you, the valley you go through is a part of the journey you have to find something better for your life. Trust God in it. That's the hardest thing for us to do. It's hard for me to trust God in that. I generally trust in what I can see. When I can put my eyes on it, and I can figure it out with my calculator, or I can understand it concerning my own ability to reason, then I'm good, you know? But this faith in God is a journey that takes growth and maturing. I like what Psalm 84:11 says. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. God honors your integrity life, your honest life. And of course, who doesn't know the passage that Paul wrote with great positive power in Romans 8:28? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All those things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God provides us sometime in the valley as we journey to get us to a better place. But also I want you to know that God protects your life in the valley. Nothing can come against you, nothing can touch you apart from God allowing it. And if God allows it, He's got a purpose and a plan for it. How do you fight anxiety? How do you fight overly concerned when you're going through a valley of crisis? Well, David tells us that as he went through it, that there were some areas that he gained strength from. And these are three areas I want to point out to you right quickly that David recognized. First of all, I want you to know that this psalm tells us that David stayed in God's presence. Yeah, God protects your life in the valley because you stay in His presence. In verse 4, David says, "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When you step into that dark place, the shepherd wants you to know that he's with you. I'll be with you. Don't turn to drugs. Don't turn to drink. Don't turn to any other thing that would be a substitute for your life, thinking you're going to find some solace there or some completeness there. God says, don't do that. I'm walking this road with you. All you need is your shepherd. Let the church say amen. Amen. All you need is your shepherd. He knows your needs, and He's the one who can provide for them. Hebrews 13:5 says this. He has said this: I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I'm traveling this journey with you. I'll never abandon who you are. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my presence. I will not fear what man can do to me because God is with me. Kenneth Wilson wrote a neat little book called Faith Without Fear, how we need to live a life of faith without fear. And it tells the story of his little son. They had a house that was three stories. Had a cellar in the bottom, of course, in the middle level, and then the top level. And the son and the family had to sleep on the top level, where there were a couple of bedrooms there, and all kinds of different shaped ceilings because of dormers and all that kind of stuff, you know. And Philip was saying, when I was a little boy, I had to stay on the top level there. He said, the scary thing for me was, because I was the youngest in my family, I had to go to bed first. And I had to go to bed first on that top level, and it was scary up there. It was dark up there, and all these shapes and shadows and all that kind of stuff. And my dad, he said, would come up and stay with me a little while, but then he would have to leave, and he'd close the door, and just almost all the way closed. And I could hear his steps on the landing, and then going down stairs, and they'd get fainter and fainter. The second level was used for renters who helped them pay for the house. And the bottom part was just a cellar, so they had to kind of live up in the front there. And he would get so afraid. He said, one time, he says, my dad came up to me and says, son, I'm going to give you a choice. Because he said, I kept saying, Dad, I'm afraid to be by myself. All these noises, this house is old and it's creaking and all that stuff. And says, my dad said this to me. He says, would you rather I leave the light on and go downstairs or turn the light out and stay with you here for a while? And I told my dad, I'd rather you turn the light out and stay with me for a while. You see, we long for the presence of someone who will protect us and care for us. And you can know without question that you're going to go through the darkness and the valleys and the situations. God wants you to know, as did the psalmist, make it clear from David's experiences, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me in the dark times that I have to face. That's what we really want. We want assurance of his presence in our life. Take that with you this morning. You can be assured you have his presence. There is no valley, no matter how dark, no matter how dank, no matter how deep, that you'll have to walk through alone when you're living a life that's serving the Lord. Well, he stayed in God's presence, but he also saw God's power. The shepherd rod that he carried, that rod and that staff, this rod was kind of a stick with a little club end there. And I read that the rod kind of had some metal pieces in it. And the rod was for the purpose of, guess what? Protecting that sheep from predators. You got a little wolf or a coyote coming around, okay? He's got that rod. He's going to beat that little predator away from the sheep best he can to keep that sheep safe. David felt the power of the rod of God because God's presence was there. Your rod, David says, comforts me. Lets me know that there's nothing can come against me and take me down. I don't have to worry about the coyotes of life or the storms of life, because you're there to beat them away from me. 1 John, of course, 4:4. I love that verse because it's greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know who's in me? Jesus. By way of his Holy Spirit resides in me. And that rod comes with his presence. But not only did David stay in his presence and stay in his protection, but he also experienced God's leading. He says, your staff comforts me, he says in this verse. Your staff comforts me. He was referring to the shepherd's crook. You know, you've seen the staff where the shepherd walks with that stick and he goes with the uneven ground, and that kind of gives him leverage and so on. And it's got a hook on that staff. And you know what that hook is for and what the length is for? Yeah. Because when the sheep do go astray, the shepherd is an extension of him, and he just kind of hooks that sheep and brings him back. If that sheep were to fall off a cliff, he uses that hook to grab that sheep and pull him back up best he can. And on the other end is just a long part of that staff. And guess what he does with that? He gives the sheep assurance of his presence by just a gentle tap on that sheep's side. As the shepherd's walking with the sheep and he sees him move away from the pack of it, he just taps. And guess what? That sheep doesn't say, leave me alone. That sheep says, okay, I'm going back where I'm supposed to be. And I'm glad to know that you're present with me. David was confident that God's grace, which was that part of that shepherd's staff, would assure him of God's presence. He believed, David did, that the valleys were appointed by God. And he learned some things surely about God in the ravines and the potholes of his life that David had to go through. What's the last thing you learned that God has given to you and God's provided for you in some darkness of your life? Think about it. Understand that when you go through a difficulty and a darkness and a time for which you feel as though it's out of control for sure, God wants to teach you something through that valley. And not only that, he's not going to leave you there. He's taking you through that valley because he wants to take you somewhere else. He's got you on a journey. And here's what David could say. He could say, the Lord is my shepherd, because David trusted him. He trusted him. Well, let me close and say that when you find yourself weak and unsure of tomorrow, and if you haven't lately, you will find yourself unsure about some things you have to face perhaps. And when you're winded and the color has all drained out of your face and you feel as though you're losing the battle for sure, fix your eyes on Jesus. Spend some time fixing your eyes on him. Recognize him as the good shepherd. Say, Lord, thank you for being in my presence and for giving me protection. Stick close to him and know that his desire is to go with you through whatever valley it is you have to face.